want to know how to find it. Seek it out when they hide it. You know it's in the bag when it's an easy grab. But come on, take a chance now. So go, 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 geocache, geocache. And if you need help, we're right there in a flash. If you got a question, just call in and ask. Uncover the stash on the Geocaching Podcast. The Geocaching Podcast.
Welcome to the Geocaching Podcast, episode 436, recorded live on January 27th, 2016. I'm your host, Ed Hart Hat with
Scott Burks
and Taz427.
You can join our chat room and watch our live video stream, plus participate with us as we record this episode. All this and more can be found at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. Be sure to contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. And also find us on Twitter at geocachingpodcast.com/Twitter and Facebook at geocachingpodcast.com/Facebook. This episode is sponsored by cache-advance.com for all your geocaching needs. Cache-advance.com, go find it. Boy, I'll tell you what, you couldn't tell now. But 3 or 4 days ago, I was up to my woohoo in ice. It was no fun. I'm just saying.
What's a woohoo?
It's a tender spot. I'm just saying. Oh man, we had a nasty time with an ice storm that went up the East Coast and went up its wahoo too. So that was no fun.
Yeah, but surprisingly, we had pleasant weather. It wasn't as bad as you guys.
Really?
Well, I mean, it was in the 20s, but it wasn't ice storms.
Right. No, this was ice storms. We had the more west you got, I don't even know if the bear even came out of hibernation yet. But the more west you went into the mountains, they had something in the neighborhood of foot and a half of snow, almost 2 feet of snow, almost an inch of ice. Really? The more towards the East Coast as it came up before it shifted over towards Washington, yeah, we had probably a good half inch, three quarters of an inch of ice. Power out at the Smith House was a good 2 days, so that was interesting. And you learned the people who truly love you and the others who are heat-seeking vampires, and she knows who she is.
calling a gender out of this. Wow.
When it comes to trying to survive the night with no power in an ice storm, it was funny. It really was. We were giggling and laughing through the whole thing. But I'll tell you what, after you start getting into the second day, you really kind of get the drudgeries because it's like there is no heat. We couldn't even go out to one of our relatives who is semi-close to us. They ran out of power too, like that night. So we didn't even have a place to go to, and yeah, it was dog eat dog. We actually had to, you know, have sandwiches, and this is the hard part. We had to talk to each other. No,
we had to eat the dog or something.
No, we already had the picking order of the cats and the dog first. Who's going?
We had to sacrifice the cat.
Yeah, it was terrible, but no, we had to talk to each other.
When you're you can't get your arms out of the sub-zero sleeping bag because it's too damn cold.
It was awful, but eventually they came. The light came on, and things were happy and. And the cats didn't have to flee in terror. That was good. But, it was no fun for a couple of days.
No, yeah. I know the feeling. Back when I was in college in the fraternity house that I was in, this is before they can't do this anymore, but we didn't pay our bill.
Oh, boy.
We couldn't afford our heat bill, so they literally shut off our heat.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It happens. Believe me, I know that one, too.
Well, you can't do that anymore in Chicago. You could not pay your bill, and they can't shut it off until May.
Right.
But so we didn't pay our bill, so for 5 days we had no heat. And you got to remember, this is 30 guys in a house with no heat. So what we did, we had the fireplace constantly going, but eventually we ran out of wood, and so we started tearing the house apart.
Oh, geez, there goes the desk.
You'd come home and your desk would be gone. You're like, where's my desk, guys? They'd be like, dude, we had to be sacrificed. I'm like, dude, it's my desk, man. Come on, dude. Like, I mean, we had the fireplace constantly going. We all slept in the family room next to the fire, like the Waltons, or like, you know, like Laura Ingalls Wilder.
The day after tomorrow.
I remember doing that as a kid. We lost power for about a week during the blizzard of 78.
Oh, them were the years. Yes, I was in Michigan.
We had a wood burning stove in the kitchen, so we spent a week in the kitchen.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's you really do understand who you love and who you don't after a couple of days to a week of that.
Yeah, it's tough when you're living like the Amish, I guess, so to speak. But it's tough, man. When you don't have heat, you really like. It's amazing how you wonder how the people in the 1700s and 1800s did it.
Oh yeah.
It's like you take for granted, like air conditioning and heating. You really take that for granted.
Yeah, and you look at that two candles that are burning in front of you going, this was it. Yeah. Yeah. And it's not as bad as I haven't gone through a power failure in a hurricane here yet, but I heard it's even worse than with the heat and the humidity.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah.
We were out for 6 days when Hurricane Ike came through and hit our place. It was only the houses on my street.
And
the addition that we lived in, 2,200 houses, okay, and there were like 40 of the houses that still didn't have electricity after the second or third day because our transformer got.
Oh yeah,
smashed, and it's like, okay, we're going to save everybody else. We'll circle back once we're done.
You all survive now. You hear?
Yeah.
All right, but yeah, it was some interesting weather. It kind of set us back a good half a week or so. We're still trying to catch up with everything going on.
Did you lose the fridge? Did you lose all?
Did not lose the fridge. And you know the funny part is, and one of the things, because I did actually, if people didn't get a chance to see it, Scott and I were talking about it just a few minutes ago. I did go out just before the storm to a Walmart and did a Periscope session showing you what it looks like when people go for the mandatory French toast parties. Which down here means that all the eggs, all the milk, and all the bread disappear hoardingly-wise. Yes, because God knows we're going to all die if we don't have French toast made during the power outage. So I actually was in a Walmart showing the guys filling the bread aisles. Well, it was pretty funny. Had a good time with it. But what we ended up, because Amanda just went, you know, there's like 3 or 4 inches of ice and snow everywhere. Why don't we just put the milk and the eggs out in the snow?
Snow,
exactly.
One
positive about power going out there.
Oh,
yep.
We lost him.
He stuck for a second. But yeah, during an ice storm, that's what you do. You put him out during that, and away you go.
So in an ice storm, the goal is the carb overload? Is that the goal?
Yeah, apparently. You just go into that until you go into hibernation mode and just sleep through it. So,
okay.
I don't make the rules. I just know everybody does it. That's part of the flow. All you say is French toast parties and everybody goes, dee! It's all right. All right. We get it. So, Mr. Scott, I heard you's not feeling good right now.
Yeah, I'm sick. You know, it's January 27th and I'm sick for my third time in 2016. I think it's literally I had 1 week of health so far this year.
Which company do you get your meds from? Because I'm getting stuck.
You know what? It's my freaking children is what it is. They're so damn cute. I can't help them kiss them even when they have coughs. And now I've got it. This is just a cold. I was worse before.
Right.
So this is literally just a head cold and a little cough. That's about it.
But, so Taz, we got to mark this from him next week and see where.
My voice is slowly going. If it don't adjust your radio, it's actually my voice. If I sound funny, so.
It's awesome. All right. Well, I hope you feel better because it does suck. And I know when you starting to sound like Mike Wazowski, right? When I get sick, I start sounding like Barry White. So it's just that's how it is.
Yeah.
All right. Mr. Taz, how's the leg going, man?
It's getting better and better every day. Didn't manage to get out and get any caches, so maybe this week and see if I can make it out.
Yep.
There's an event that I'm hoping to go to and hoping to grab some caches after.
Oh, that's cool. Good stuff. I'm just I figured because, you know, it's all the ice and all the terrible stuff that we had from the winter. It was 65 degrees out yesterday. So it's like, I feel better. So it's I think geocaching might be a little easier to get out.
So now. It went all the way up to 65. So that obviously melted all the ice.
Yeah, it was gone. It was done, and now I've got to sweep all the ice melt off my stairs. So it's just
wow,
65 from that to 65 degrees.
Yeah, four different seasons in 2 days.
Yeah, literally, that's weird to go from like. It's got to be below 32 degrees for it to freeze.
Yeah,
and then,
I think we got down into the 20s in the. In the first part of the storm, so we got a little bit of snow, and then it raised up a little bit, and then just stayed at 32 or 31, and iced everything. So, perfect storm. All right.
Then you go up 40 degrees to the 60s.
Yeah, and it just poof, and it's done, which is great because then you don't have to worry about black ice.
Nice.
So, yeah, good stuff, and hopefully people now have their power because there were people out for a good 3-4 days with that, so.
That's terrible.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to the podcast roundup, letting our viewers know what's going on in our geocaching podcasting community. And what's coming up this week on Geo Gear Hits is another randomized show, XLII. I think that's, 32, I think. I don't know. I don't know my numbers in Roman.
I
think they need to do like they did in the Super Bowl.
XLII, which is 42.
Okay.
No, L is 50 5.
Minus 10 plus 2.
All right.
Huh?
No, is L a 10?
L is 50.
Right.
X is 10. So XL is 40.
Right.
Then 2.
Right, 42. See, I think that what they need to do is like the Super Bowl. Once they get to a certain point, just go to numerics. I mean, enough of that.
That's what WrestleMania did.
Exactly. Exactly. So anyways, Dave DeBearmaker is back again to chat with Chris and Daryl about another seemingly random collection of smaller subjects. Boy, that's pretty random. I'm just saying. And now we're going to talk about frogs. Let's see. On the GeoSnippets Repo podcast tomorrow, we have another. Yes, another. And people love these. Head Hard Hats geocaching quiz number 6. That's numeric 6. I'm just saying. Check out that tomorrow. We're going to be having to test your geocaching knowledge again. We have a lot of fun with this. And usually what happens, if you take the quiz and you send in your scores to us, you get into a drawing for a prize. So check that out tomorrow on the GeoSnippets Reboot podcast. All right, good stuff. And finally, please, 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 if you get any bit of information, a chuckle, a laugh, a tear of joy, whatever works for you from coming from the Geocaching Podcast, check on over to our Patreon or our PayPal section and throw a couple bucks our way each month. We would greatly appreciate it. Cost for geocaching podcasts, it costs money. And quite frankly, we need all the help we can get. And so if you can throw a couple bucks our way because you get all this wonderful, fantastic, entertaining value, just please send it to us. We'd appreciate it. It helps keep the lights on, literally. One of these days I'm going to say that and the power's just going to go, but that's how that goes. All right, good stuff. We do not have a geocaching question of the day, so we are going to move on after that to our episode tonight. What better thing to talk about with geocachers but food? So tonight's episode 436, geocaching snacks and drinks, and we might as well just say other food stuffs. So basically, we have taken over the years different polls to see what geocachers eat and drink when they go out geocaching. And we've got actually a poll here from a couple of years ago that I took, and I thought it would be kind of cool to see how things were then as far as how people say they were eating and the type of stuff that they do nowadays. So I don't know. To me, what do you think, guys? I do think that it seems like people back then, geocaching had much more of a health persona for people. You had your heavy-duty hikers. You had your heavy-duty outdoorsmen that went out. They knew it was important to stay hydrated and eat and keep yourself going. And now it's like, where's the quickest fast food drive through? I mean, it's it just seems to have changed a lot.
I guess. You know, we used we usually end our days with a Frosty from Wendy's.
There you go.
End our nights. But in terms of, I mean, I don't really bring food if I'm going. It depends if I'm in the woods all day. Jesse and I usually bring some, either some trail mix or some, what are they called? Bars, you know.
Energy right.
Bars.
And yeah. not energy, no, not energy bars. The
just health the,
bars.
Yeah.
Like oatmeal bars, you know, that kind of stuff.
Right. Yeah. Nutri-Grain and all those types
of
things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, that's kind of healthy, right? I'm assuming that's like.
Right.
Yeah, that's what we. And then, water. Usually lots of water. I'm not bringing pop, you know, or
right.
beer for that matter, you know. So I guess in that vein, yeah, I still do eat healthy. You know, usually I'm not bringing crap. I don't, you know, I'm not going to bring a Snickers bar with me on the hike, mainly because it's probably going to melt, you know, before I start eating it. So usually afterwards is when you eat crap. You know, you
exactly.
walk all
the time.
And then you go and you eat crap after, you know, you go and you go to, you know, McDonald's. You know, I don't go to McDonald's, but you could go to McDonald's, some fast food place. You know, you're not having a salad after you hike 5 miles, you know, if you want meat, you know, or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in essence, yeah, you know.
Yeah. Cause a lot of it, it's one, you don't want to carry a ton. You want to bring food with you. Obviously you got to bring water. Water, you've got the nice hydration packs that you can wear.
Yeah.
You know, and the I forget what they call the vests that you can sit there and suck on the tube. I'm just saying.
Well, the backpacks, yeah. Yeah, Jesse and I both
Camelbacks, yes. Thing. Yeah. So those are nice for having water because those can hold up to what, 80 ounces or so? That
Something like that, yeah. And what's really nice is like at the night before, I put mine in the freezer.
Oh, yeah.
And so it keeps the water cold for hours. It's kind of nice,
yeah. You know? But water's not as big of a factor, though. I bring the bigger backpack to carry water for things like that. Not only for me, but for other people that are – you always bring the ones for, like, I'll take it for Amy and me when we go. And I usually bring a few extra because we always run into somebody that while we're on some particular trail, especially if we're on our way to an event or something, and you're out on the trail and they're like, oh, my God, I'm dying. Hey, have some water. You know, so I bring
it. Oh, yeah.
So
I've got someone like that every time that I went caching with that individual, it's like, hey, can I borrow some water? It's like, you know, you're going to be out here all day. Bring your damn water.
Yes. Yeah, yeah it really is. And then, or you'll always run into that or kids or whatever. And it's like, you know, when I mean, we've gone out somewhere. It was extremely hot out and very humid. And we were hurting and we had water. So we know that other people that didn't, it was not. But so anyway, some of the stuff, and we'll talk on and off about different subjects as we go through here. But just to go over some of the highs and lows as far as this poll that was taken a few years ago. Obviously, the top percentage, which was 12% of all the picks on it, was water.
I can't believe it's only 12.
Yeah.
I'm surprised it's higher than that.
Yeah. Well, we were kind of going for food and drink at that, so it was kind of a combination. Next one that came down with this, both at 9.33% were, and like Scott had said, energy and health bars and jerky. And I thought jerky would be awesome. It's lightweight.
Yeah.
It's high protein. It's not something that you're going to go on a health kick for, but it's definitely going to be something that you can throw in the backpack and not worry about melting and turning into sludge.
But it's dry.
It is dry and salty.
Water, jerky?
Yeah, I don't know.
When I'm traveling internationally, I always bring jerky with me.
Do you really?
Long-haul flights and stuff. I need something to snack on. It's light. It fits in the backpack, but... Then I've never taken it hiking.
Can you see international people looking at him going, Americans?
Yeah, what the hell?
Just sitting there chawing on his jerky.
I'm skipping.
I am just saying.
Like, it's my dog.
At least he didn't like, and, you know, it's not that bad. But, yeah. So I could see jerky, but I could also see the salt in the water being an issue as too. Let's see. Another one just to show that we're not all health nuts. Candy was next on the list. So, I mean, what kind? I mean, for the kids, maybe.
We're talking about like hard candy, or are we talking about like a Snickers
just,
bar?
Just candy in general, and I think they were kind of referring to like things like that. That's I don't know, a good 100-degree weather eating my Almond Joy, I'm just saying.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'd rather eat jerky if I'm going to do that, you know?
I mean, if that's, you know, if I'm going to do anything that is sugary.
Yeah.
When geocaching, it's when I've completed geocaching. It's like getting that frosty at the end of the day. It's
right.
Your reward at the end of the day.
Yes, so I burned off 9,000 calories. Let's put 8,000 back in a frosty. Right.
Exactly.
Especially when you walk 20 miles, you're like, I don't care where we go for dinner.
Yes.
Where I want.
Yeah. So I. All right. To each his own. Of course, nowadays a lot of times with the way geocachers are constantly in the car anyways, if they're doing nothing but parking grabs or just going around hit and miss, that way they can keep the candy in a cooler or something and go that mm-hmm. way. But
yeah, that's a whole different story. I'm assuming we're talking about backpacking.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, sugar high.
I'm running through the drive-thru if that's the case. I'm not eating candy.
Yeah, sugar high and then crash. Good stuff. And then the ever popular, yes, nuts. So, yeah, same thing. I can see where it's nice, it's dry, you're not worrying about it melting, but they can tend to be salty.
That's my typical number two go-to.
As you like nuts?
Oatmeal bars. Oatmeal bars is basically what we have in the pantry. It's like when go in there, I'm gonna try oatmeal bars first.
Nuts in the pantry?
Yeah. I'll Ziploc some nuts.
Dude, stop! I'm sick.
He's gonna blow a gasket.
Salt-free nuts.
There you go.
Oh god.
As opposed to candied nuts. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Oh god.
Oh, that's all right. Scott Burks just turned into a mucus factory.
Sorry, guys. Oh man, you're just like totally talking dumb. So in the chat room, we've got Doc Firewoman talking about deer jerky and venison.
Oh, they love that.
I've actually had deer jerky. My old college roommate when I went to school in Winona, Minnesota. He was like, "Hey there, how you doing there?" Yeah, you know, he was one of those guys.
Oh yeah,
really, real Minnesotan. He'd go and he'd always bring back his kill from the weekend, more or less. He'd bring it back.
That's where men are men and women are.
Yeah, totally. And during deer season, he'd always bring the deer back, the venison back, and the venison jerky. And it's good. I agree. She's saying it's very good, and I agree.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I never had it before then. I've never had it after then. But
and it's a process to make.
It is.
It's good. It's really good. I liked it. I love the venison jerky too. I really liked it.
Yeah.
It was really good.
Yeah.
It's pricey for a reason. I mean, it actually, you're spending some, when you're making it yourself, you're spending some good cash.
Oh yeah.
On all the ingredients.
Oh yeah. And a funny thing that I do find out about geocachers, especially in the geocaching podcast chat room and the GeoSnippets Reboot podcast chat room, this is not the only time the venison jerky comes up. I'm just saying.
Yeah, good.
They do love it.
I was a boy from the Chicago suburbs. I never had, you know, venison before.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we don't hunt where I come from. Nice. So when he's like, here, have some. It's deer. I'm like, okay. Boom, you know.
Now, sure. See, in Dexter, Michigan, where I spent much of my adult life right around the Ann Arbor area, they have deer racks. When hunting season comes, that's where you put your big bucks on. I'm just saying.
You got the gun rack in the back.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The deer rack on the
and
front.
Right in front of the store, they got the deer rack out front. And that's the way you go. Just saying.
No, I come from the northern suburbs of Chicago. If you don't care.
It's harder to shoot in those areas.
It's a big bubble. It really is. It's a big bubble of safe little world bubble.
Oh, funny. That's funny. Yeah, here you just go to the sound of gunshot, and there goes another one.
Yeah. I went to school in Chicago, and I changed my opened up my eyes incredibly. Like, whoa, this is the real world.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome. Yeah. All right, at 4.67%, there were two items, dried fruits and Gatorade.
So dried fruits. Okay.
Yeah, I can see dried fruits. Those are great. I love that. Sure. Not too salty, not too sugary, and yet they're enough to give you that extra set of carbs and sugars from something like that. And
yeah.
Good old Gatorade.
I like them with the inside the trail mix. You know, got some yeah. trail mix with a little bit of nuts and dried fruit.
Oh yeah, right.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's, I don't know, a Gatorade. You know, I like Gatorade. I drink Gatorade all the time.
I do.
But like, I don't, when I'm on the path, when I'm hiking, I just want water. I don't even want Gatorade.
Yeah.
Just give me the H2O.
I've talked to several first aid respondents. As a matter of fact, we had somebody on Juice Snippets a couple years ago, Jamie Davis, that he said flat out, when you're out on things like this, water is absolutely the best way to go above any of the fruit drinks and any of the other stuff that you got out
there.
Yeah. And you need to make sure that you're drinking it along the way and not waiting, dehydrating, and then trying to swallow it all at once. And
yeah.
Wrong thing to do.
Thank you.
Okay.
It was good at one part, and then he goes right over the edge. The fun thing that a lot of people do is when they're on a long trail and they know that they're going to come back on the same trail, what they'll do is take water and then like hide it in a couple of spots and mark it on the GPS. So that way you don't have to carry the water all the way to the end point. Yeah. And then mm-hmm. as a way back, you've got those, you know, refreshment spots for bringing in. So that's always a cool way to do it.
That's a smart idea.
Yeah. The next, we had a bunch of stuff that kind of falls under the same category. At 4% was chips, crackers, soda / pop, and trail mix.
What trail mix, yes. Chips, that's too salty.
That's salty you go.
Cracker is also too salty.
Yep.
No, I've had crackers. I've had crackers.
Although the like the peanut butter crackers.
There you go. Now you're talking.
Those are a big energy pick-me-up.
Oh, yeah. Good proteins on that one.
I've had like the two crackers with peanut butter in the middle kind of a thing, like those little sandwiches things like those. I've had those.
All right. Now then do you go with the ones with the onion and chives? So those ones too. So I'm just saying there's connoisseurs of crackers.
But definitely not pop. I would never even think of
that soda for some of the folks down here. I'm just saying.
I would throw it up so fast. No, that's like
I wouldn't even do the pop with dinner after I've gone geocaching.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it doesn't matter if it's diet or not. We won't even get into the aspartame thing. But as far as for pop, that's like drinking syrup after a long hike.
Yeah.
You might as well just suck on a log cabin's, you know, pancake syrup.
Yeah. You know, I knocked pop out of my diet for years a while ago. And you know what brought me back was McDonald's Coke. Brought me back. It freaking called to me. And now it's like the only time I drink pop is like literally when I'm out. If I'm like for dinner, I'll drink. Other than that, it's water. It's all water, you know. But I wish I could not drink pop. I don't want to drink pop. You know, it's just so goddamn good.
Well,
Coke is good.
If you ever see the thing that they show where if you drink a 6-pack of pop and this is how much sugar out of a regular.
Yeah, I know. I see it and like I know how crap it is for me.
Yeah, but you can't help it.
Water. I don't mind drinking water. You know.
Yep.
And I really don't drink that much pop. I mean, if I don't go out for dinner for a week, that's a week I didn't get pop. You know. So I don't need it. No, I don't need the caffeine or whatnot. You know, it's like my body doesn't crave it at all.
Right.
But it's like it's just like when I'm out. It's only when I'm out
at a restaurant or something like that.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny because I actually did a poll once about because I read about the evils of aspartame, and I just put a poll out saying, you know what this stuff does to you, and you still drink it anyways, and like 89% said yeah. So it's
it's dude. I smoked for 30 years. I know what it did to me. Come on.
That's it. Exactly. Yeah. Let's see. One of the things that I found interesting: trail mix 4%. At 3.33 was GORP.
Okay, what the hell's GORP?
Okay, GORP is actually a combination, and there's it's a mix in the South. I don't think I have the actual recipe here. It's a mix. It's very similar to trail mix, but it has a lot of things like the yogurt chips with chocolate chips, peanuts. Sometimes they put mints. you know, those type of things. That's it's a trail mix kind of thing, but it's a very specific. And depending on where you are in the region, GORP changes to whatever that region is.
I was just going to say, is that a regional thing?
It is. There's a different sections, people's GORP recipes.
Well, how are you putting chocolate chips? I mean, that's going to melt. I mean,
yeah.
Think about the whole.
Yeah.
You're trying to put things that aren't going to melt in your backpack.
Yeah. You know? Make sure you got a good container. I'm just saying.
That's what's nice about a trail mix.
I would count it as a trail mix.
Yeah.
It's just a different variant, and like I those are types of trail mix that I tend to like, except for probably not. Wouldn't want the chocolate when geocaching, but get you know, some that has a little bit of a yogurt covered
pretzel things. In there.
Yeah. You go. Give me some white chocolate chips in there. Oh yes.
And it depends on what you got going, because then you get into that Cajun one where you get into the different seasonings with the.
Oh yeah.
With Chad, he'd like it because it's got lots of nuts. I've got
Cajun trail mix in the pantry right now.
So, yeah, whatever your GORP gets you going, I'm just saying.
Yes. I've never heard that term before.
Yeah, GORP is, I think it tends to be more of a southern thing, but I've known a lot of people pretty much all around the country that know what it is, too. But, yeah, okay, now we get down into the nitty-gritties for 2.67% cheese sticks, fruit, and sandwiches.
A cheese stick. What's a cheese stick? Is that like a pulled cheese?
Stick of cheese.
Yeah, you know, mozzarella sticks, those kind of things. Okay. Now, kids love that. I mean, they come in little pre-made packages, and if it's semi-melted, they just go nuts trying to figure out, like a raccoon, how to get it out of the package. I'm just saying.
Sandwiches we do. If we're in a long, long hike and we're going to have lunch, yes, yeah. Then yes, you'll usually make a couple sandwiches.
Yep. Yep, and then fruit was another one, because I can see a lot of people getting high carbs. I wouldn't want that tangerine in my backpack on a trail.
No, we do fruit on car rides if we're going somewhere, and Jesse packs a small cooler.
Yes,
throw a bunch of fruit in there, but
yeah,
not in the backpacks. Not in the backpacks.
Now that's one thing that I have to admit. Go ahead.
At least with fruit, you can leave the wrapper on the ground.
Yeah, the fruit you can. That's the
ain't see to win that.
That's it. But that's one of the things I have to admit. When I was geocaching with my daughter, she would actually. That was one of the things, and I don't see people doing this as much anymore. Her pride and joy to do is we would go on, like, say, a Saturday to go geocaching for the day or that afternoon. She would go out of her way to make an entire picnic lunch. So it wasn't fancy. It was a few sandwiches. There she would, like, say, fruit. That she would have with that, and you know, some kind of drink type thing, water, what have you, with it, some little thing that she make it personal for her, so that it made it special to her. And it was just so cool to be able to stop someplace and just, instead of going through the drive-thru, just sitting down and just unpacking a pre-made picnic lunch someplace underneath a tree, a little park or some shady spot, and just sit down and enjoy having it together that way. I miss that. I mean, I really miss that. And I don't hear too many other geocaching families doing that anymore. They rush off to the fast food. They rush off to the other. But just a good old-fashioned picnic. You know, that kind of stuff I always thought was cool. All right.
It seems like it just takes the picnic is work.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, wrapping a couple of sandwiches and putting in a baggie
I agree completely.
If you're on a all day hike, I mean, and you're not going to be back at the car, you know, nothing better.
Yep. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Let's see, 2%. There were four items on here, and just to take this for a mix. Alcoholic beverage came up. Fast food, alcoholic beverage, fast food was down to 2% back then. Licorice and meats.
That's so big.
Just meats. Saying. So, I'm wondering if they're thinking cold cuts or I don't know.
I guess so, yeah.
I could see other things, but I'm not giving Scott that kind of ammunition.
Alcohol and salami.
There you go, man. I'm just saying. and
take
licorice.
That out after 4 hours of hiking in the 90 degrees. That
yeah, right when you want to close the windows of the car. I'm just
the
saying.
Warm beer and the hard salami. Go ahead, eat it. Eat up.
Eat up, boys. That'll wick you up. Now, this must have been something. Now, this is down to the 1.33%. This is a good mix here, and you can tell the South was involved with it. Cookies, Krispy Kremes.
Definitely the South.
Yeah, pretzels, raisins, and tea.
Tea?
Tea. I mean, you know, whatever. I'm hoping they're saying iced tea in the warm and warm tea in the cold, whatever. But Krispy Kremes, that just goes to show, you know, there's never a bad time. You know, you got to get that sugar high before you go on the trail. You hit the Krispy Kreme spot and get you that good sugar high that you need to walk off.
Are we talking about Krispy Kreme, the donuts?
Yes, yes.
My wife's favorite
donuts down here.
That's if the sign's on, you get a free donut. That one, right?
Something like that. The Krispy.
Do they do that where you are?
Krispy Kremes does the just basically, it's a factory that makes donuts that they ship out to everybody else. But if you get them at the distribution points, they're still hot coming out of the oven.
Bro, yeah.
But
the Krispy Kremes stores in Houston there would make them there. So
yeah, so Chicago does too.
Yeah,
but I don't think they have Krispy Kremes out here in my neck of the woods now.
Or California.
California.
Yeah, we'll have to ship you some, but you can always tell the Krispy Kreme winos because they're just outside the door going having a sugar
high.
That's
what I'm saying. I guess if the freshly baked sign is on or lit, then yeah, if you walk in, you'll get a free donut.
Yeah, I wouldn't
That's
doubt
the
way
it. It works out here.
We don't care. We just throw money at them. They give us a box of them, and we're happy.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Good stuff. So yeah, pretzels, raisins, and tea. Now raisins wouldn't be bad. That would give you a decent. You know, I don't want to say run for the money if it's too many raisins, but I'm just saying.
Well, I mean. I wouldn't eat just raisins, but I like my raisins in my trail mix.
I was going to say it is gorp.
Exactly. In my gorp.
In your gorp.
I raisins in my gorp.
The final ones for 67%. There's a bunch here for the last of the last. Bagels. So people were obviously breakfast eaters before they go in. Chex Mix.
Chex Mix. Hey,
yeah. Energy drinks.
That's a game.
I had no idea this was in here, and I've seen this thing a million times. Greek foods. I have no idea if baklava. What am I thinking of? The just different Greek foods.
Greek food. That's what is it? Was it 0.01%?
0.67%.
They asked the one Greek person, what'd you bring? I bring Greek food.
Cabbages. We love cabbages.
Okay, one Greek food.
All right. Juice, milk, sunflower seeds.
Wait. Milk?
I'm thinking that's before and or after the trip.
I'm hoping that's soy milk if it's during the trip.
After I hike 10 miles, I don't want a big glass of milk.
No. Unless it's frozen and has Frosty on the side.
Right. And has a stick in it.
That's right.
If you're going to have some of these things in here, coffee. Where the hell is coffee?
Yeah.
Coffee needs to be in there.
No doubt.
That is my before geocaching drink.
Yes.
Or on a cold day, it's during, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Have a cup of coffee with me.
Absolutely. Last two things, sunflower seeds and vegetables.
Vegetables I'll go with. I'll give you vegetables.
Yeah,
carrots and celery.
Oh,
I'll give you that.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah, good stuff.
Sunflower seeds, I like sunflower seeds.
I love them.
The only time I ever eat them is when I'm coaching Little League. It's the
really?
Only time I ever eat them. Yep, that's it. That's the only time I ever eat them.
I was gonna
guess out a Cubs game.
No, it's coaching Little League. It's the only time. Coaching other than that, I don't eat them, ever.
Yeah.
They're not a part of my diet at all.
Yep.
You know, yeah, it's weird.
Now, do you guys have any favorite spots that you go to? Now, if you're going on a trip and you're going to someplace new, so you're off on an adventure to a place you haven't been before, is there a favorite type spot that you look for in particular that you hope is going to be there? Or do you go out and try to get adventurous and just try to find, oh, this is a cool looking restaurant, let's try that?
For me, and at least in Texas, it was barbecue or a Mexican restaurant.
Oh, really? Okay. There you go.
There's tons of great barbecue restaurants all over Texas, and you always got to find what is that one barbecue place in that area.
And it's the one that has all the cars.
Mm-hmm.
All the cars.
And it looks like a pit.
Yeah, absolutely looks like a pit. Yeah. How about you, Scott? Anything particular that...
No, Jesse always likes to eat local, so she'll always say, let's find a local place rather than a chain. So she always, you know, so we always try wherever we're out, you know, out of our comfort zone, out of our area. She always says, let's go find local, you know, so that's what we usually do.
Yeah.
That's when I usually tweet a picture of me going, we're getting food poisoning, you know. That's usually when that happens. Because it's usually just a dive.
That's the ones that I go for.
Those are the best.
I know. But, like, the best at, you know, giving you food poisoning.
Yeah. This is the best food poisoning I've had in a couple of weeks.
We always like to eat, you know, local is what we try to do. We always try to do that. Rather, you know, when you're out, don't go to Arby's when you're out. Go to a place you don't have at your, you know, where you live.
Yeah,
it's good to give back to the community too. So.
Oh yeah,
yep,
yeah. No, it always depends. Like I said, if all the places around look suspect, then we'll go to the chains that we know are tend to have a better, you know, overall policy of expectations that you're going to go to. But yeah, otherwise it's like, hey, that place is loaded. Let's go over there and try that. And it's funny that you say that the Mexican and the Italian restaurants tend to be the ones we end up going to too. So, oh well, that's how it goes. Yep. All right. Well, good stuff. Any other good things before we take off? And we'll have the list here in the show notes if you want to go check that off. And if you've got a favorite food, and we're seeing all sorts of stuff in the chat room, from baby carrots to celery sticks. I don't know. There are times I want to feel real good and healthy when I'm out walking, and there's other times I want to eat complete junk.
Well, the only problem with eating complete junk when you're out walking is it's just gonna you get full, you know, you get uncomfortable.
Yeah, you know, you don't want to binge too really much. Light. Yeah,
I try and eat really light when I'm hiking.
Yeah,
I'll save it for afterwards. You know,
yeah. Let me find a good place that I can hang out for a couple hours after I'm done. And
but obviously the most important thing is hydration. That's most important.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And just snacks. Don't you're not there to eat lunch unless you're eating lunch. But when you're hiking, just keep your fuel. You know when your blood sugar is low, and you know
have your stuff ready for it. That's exactly right. Yeah, all right, excellent stuff. All right, guys, I think that's about it. Good discussion. And like I said, if you've got information and things that you want to add to our list, by all means, go over to geocachingpodcast.com and go over and click onto our area where you can just under contact us and just send us your information or email it to us. We'd love to hear from you. All right, good stuff. Let's get out of here. We'd like to thank you for subscribing to the Geocaching Podcast. Thanks to Cache-Advance for all the things that you do. Please be sure to join us each and every Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of the Geocaching Podcast right here on the Geocaching Podcast website at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. The video version of our show is available on YouTube, and the audio version is available on our home website, iTunes, Stitcher, and many of your favorite podcasters. We love hearing from our viewers and listeners, so please visit us through our social media sites or contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. The Geocaching Podcast is a Head Hard Hat production and is produced by Andy Smith, Scott Burks, Corey Stevens, and Chad Courtney. The show is copyright 2016 by Andrew T. Smith. All rights reserved.